Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th. So get your tickets now at kosai.org.
Hey everybody, welcome to another round table. We are discussing lots of stuff, mostly films of paranormal make and model. This one we got today is a fun one, and I got with me Zinger, Justin Zinger from the Zing This podcast. Hey Justin, what's going on?
Howdy, hey, good to be here. Good to be here at this very round table. It's so round.
So round everybody can fit. And we also have Derek Hayes from the Monsters Among Us podcast. Derek, what's going on?
When can we start calling this thing Knights at the Round Table?
Ooh.
You know, we might as well.
Yes.
We were, how long was it we tried to think of like a clever name for this, and we threw out so many bad ones?
We tried to get them all out of our system, and for some reason, it kept going.
That's what people are listening saying.
We should dig up that list. There were some pretty bad ones in there.
There were some real That's bad true. Ones.
I can't even think. It's been so long since we've done one. But this is fun. It's always a good time to... First of all, it gives us an opportunity, especially me anyway, because I never got to see these weird old documentaries and miniseries and things like that when I was growing up. I love going back and watching these things. And I don't know if you guys... did you have this stuff growing up, or is this new to you all as well?
Yeah, I did, actually, but not this one. I'd never seen this one or even heard of it, actually, but there was a lot of these older 70s documentaries that I was pretty keen on. Most of them were the monster variety, not so much of the ancient aliens or, UFOs and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
I was big into, like, when History Channel had the Histories Mysteries, like that.
Yeah.
I can see elements from this that carried over through years and years and got to that, but this was something that... All the elements of, I guess, the more modern, like, ancient aliens and stuff like that are peppered in here, minus one crazy-haired person, but actually, I don't know, that one guy that they have talking at that one point, the NASA expert, he's kind of got
the hair. Yeah, I know who you're talking
about. Exactly.
Yeah, I think you're right. If I don't forget, there's something I want to talk about with him, too, but... This stuff, so today we're going to be talking about In Search of Ancient Mysteries, and this is a 1973, maybe 74, it was a television special that was pre-dating the In Search of series. This, I have seen a place say that it was a pilot, like one of three pilots that they released, and I think they say that because it was such a hit that they decided to make a series out of them. And of course, that launched In Search Of, with which Leonard Nimoy ended up hosting, and that ran for, what, 6 seasons plus, you know, whatever they're doing now. And it was a wonderful program. Did you guys ever get into the In Search Of stuff?
I was actually much older when I got into that. Yeah, I was born in 79. I probably shouldn't say that out loud, but I was born in 79, so I kind of missed a lot of that stuff. But, you know, in syndication, I picked it up, and it was really interesting. But I think enough time had passed that it wasn't real for me. It was just kind of, oh, look at his old stuff kind of situation.
Same for me. I'm, of course, I guess the young buck out of all out of the three of us here. So I kind of picked it up on, like, reruns and re-airings on, like, History or Discovery whenever they happened to randomly have it. Or I think Sci-Fi ran it for a while, too. Possibly had In Search Of.
Yeah. This definitely predates me by almost a decade. So it was something I really didn't get into or get the rock turned over for me until I started doing the podcast and getting into this stuff. And it's great. Like, I enjoy every time I watch it, and I think you can find most all of them just on YouTube anymore. And that's where we watched this.
Mm-hmm.
It's super easy. This is about, what, 50 minutes long? And let's dive into what we thought about it. This one is talking about, it's titled Ancient Mysteries. It goes into all kinds of stuff. So if you listen to my Time Life Mysteries round table or review that I did with Brent and Ryan a couple episodes back, this is basically about half the books all condensed into one 50-minute special. So they talk about all kinds of stuff. They bring up Bermuda Triangle. They bring up ancient cultures like Tiwanaku. They go into detail about Nazca Line some. What else did they throw out there, you guys?
They threw a lot out there, but before we get too deep into this, I just want us to all make sure to synchronize our Timex watches real quick. Timex.
That's right. I forgot to put that ad at the front of the episode.
No, that caught me so off guard, because I was sitting there and I thought that, like, the video froze or something, because I was like, is there supposed to be an ad here? What is going on?
Yeah, so it's literally an ad that is read like, this special is presented by Timex. Make sure you get your Timex watches. They're the only, you know, and it's like old timey radio. Yeah. Almost in a way. I mean, I guess that's how they did it back then. But it wasn't at the beginning, though, right? Like, they got into the Nazca lines. Mm-hmm. And were talking about it before all of a sudden the show starts with the titles and stuff. And then here comes this ad.
That's weird. I didn't have that on mine.
What?
Mine was adless.
Really?
Yeah.
You didn't hear the Timex stuff?
No, I didn't. That's super strange. The runtime on mine was 52:30. I don't know if that's the same as your guys's, but
you did. Okay. So the the other show was In Search of Ancient Astronauts. You didn't watch that one, did you?
No. I watched the right one.
Okay.
How funny, hilarious would that be?
Now I'm getting nervous.
We'll tackle them all.
And nobody even noticed that I was reviewing the wrong movie. It just seamlessly went with.
Well, there's got to be so much crossover, because if they did an Ancient Astronauts one, first of all, it's hilarious. And Sukalos, man, turn your card in, because it's been done, brother. And second of all, this whole episode was one huge alien? Like, it was all about ancient aliens, right?
I actually have a note that says this is essentially a slower version of Ancient Aliens.
Mm-hmm.
Because, it's the 1970s, everything takes a little longer, music's slow, narration's slow, and it's exactly what it is. They're making the same points, they're bringing a lot of the same stuff up, they just don't have the flashy graphics that Ancient Alien has.
They just make sure to pause for a long time on, like, the moon over some, like,
the gate of the sun.
Yeah. Yeah. They brought up that image like 3 or 4 times, and it just, I'm like,
loved it.
Oh man, they were so in that shot. Like, someone sat there all day to get that shot, and they got their money's worth.
He absolutely did. So they show this shot, the still shot of the Gate of the Sun, which is a huge gate that's carved out of stone that's down at I think that one's at Tiwanaku, isn't it?
That sounds right.
It's one of the places in Bolivia. And then they've got the moon, you know, in the daytime up above it. You can see it in the sky, and they zoom in on it. There was a whole section at the end of that where there for me anyways, I don't know if you guys experienced it, but there was no music. There was no narration.
Yep.
It was just silent and pictures fading in and out of each other. You can't get away with that today.
I had it on the background while I was doing, like, I watched it and I was like, you know what, I'm gonna have it on the background in case I missed anything. And once again, I was like, did something happen to my computer?
Yeah.
And I check and I'm like, oh, it's still playing. Why is there no sound?
Man, I didn't have any of these problems that you guys had.
My God, you watched a different video.
Everything played perfectly fine on my link. There's like four different links on YouTube, and I just clicked one random one, and everything went fine for me.
It's hilarious.
Losers.
I like the idea that someone, that you did watch the right video, and someone just like edited all that stuff out.
So what time did you say yours was again?
Mine's 52:30, the runtime.
Mine is 2.
I watched it twice. Oh. I have no idea. I don't remember seeing any of that stuff.
That's hilarious.
I mean, I zoned out for a few minutes. It's a little dry, but...
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at kosai.org.
So what are you guys' initial impressions of this?
Well, we should probably mention that this is narrated by the wonderful Rod Sterling from
Sterling
Twilight Zone, and I'm trying to think of what else he's famous for. You know, he's the one of the old-timey scary guys. Everybody knows him as the horror guy. So that's a really good choice right there to begin with, having him do it.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, that's a great point to bring up, too. Rod Serling he had to have had some kind of hand in writing it, because there were quite a few sections of narration that were, you know, pretty poetic for what it is.
Mm-hmm.
And he was very good about writing monologues in that style. And what I read was that he was supposed to be the host of the In Search Of series when it came out, and died just before it began production.
You know, I heard
and
that,
so that's
too.
That's why they got Leonard Nimoy.
Yeah, years ago, I remember hearing that, and as soon as you said it, it kind of clicked that, oh, yeah, I remember that story. I think he died of lung cancer or something.
Oh, yeah.
Or pancreatic cancer or some sort of cancer. It was, you know, the 60s or 70s, so.
Well, I wouldn't be surprised if it was lung, because, I mean, every Twilight Zone, he's sitting there sucking on a Chesterfield, so.
The sweet old Chesterfield. So, yeah, you know, I thought the narration was great. And the music was really cool, too. I mean, it was that old,
the music,
like,
yeah.
Man, it was haunting, like, 70s documentary music is really what it was. But I thought it was pretty good. I thought that music held up pretty well, and it really helped set the scene.
Okay, I'm glad you mentioned the music, so I have a note here. The music for the brain-powered monkey thing, that was so random and out of place. I was... Okay, to explain to the dear listener, there is one point where they find skulls at one of the locations, and they're showing how, like, oh, you know, these skulls have weird, you know, damage to them. And then it cuts to showing very crude, let's put a circuit board into a monkey brain.
Yeah.
With the monkey still alive, and the monkey's jumped around with this box on its head, and science has come a long way.
How terrifying was that?
But... there's the weirdest music during it.
Can you do an impression of it, Justin?
I don't even know. I'd have to re-listen to it real quick because it was just so out of place. It was like this do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do.
Yeah, like,
it was like, yeah, very electronic. But man, both of those parts, the brain surgery, they're looking at skulls that I believe were 1,700 years old, and they have... like golf ball sized holes in them that they chiseled out with these crude tools to do brain surgery on these people. And this one dude they were showing, there was 4 holes, meaning he survived 4 different surgeries. What were they looking for in there?
Yeah.
Like, what do you, I mean, a stick just poking around? Like, what the hell are they doing in there?
Maybe he was a anti-sacrifice or something, and they wanted to see what's wrong with him. So, like, how do they know that he survived? That's what I wanted to know. They're like, he survived all of these, and this is a very precarious area to, like, dig around in.
Well, a lot of times you can tell where the bone has started to grow over, and obviously it's not going to grow over if you don't survive the surgery. So, you know, if there's signs that the bone has begun to heal, then that pretty much tells you that the person lived after the surgery for an extended period of time. I believe that's how they date that.
I'll buy it.
And Derek took the words right out of my mouth. I was actually going to use that as my guess is they probably showed signs of healing afterwards.
Yeah.
Though going back to that monkey scene once again, I just wish it had like the newscast or the like person's voiceover going, science, technology, this is cutting it.
Yeah.
Just that voice cutting in. The power of monkeys will soon be ours to wield.
A little background on this, just so everybody knows what the hell we're joking about. They wired this some sort of processor into this monkey's brain. I don't know what kind of monkey that was. I can't remember, but it's just like
a small one.
A small monkey, and it's got this like Rubik's cube glued to its head.
Yeah,
and it's like going through its skull and everything, and it's running around fighting with other monkeys with this like device on its head. It's this bionic creature. Like, it's so weird.
I think they were trying to control it or like give it directions through this electronic interface kind of thing, and I mean, if you want Island of Dr. Moreau, that's a good start.
It's so creepy.
Yeah, it's creepy, and DARPA is probably doing it, but otherwise, like, it's about as inhumane as you can get.
Yeah.
I mean, it was one of those moments where I'm like, wow, this is really old, because they would never have shown anything like this, like, more recently. But there's more to this than just monkey brains and monkey technology. A thing I wanted to point out is the whole thing starts with, like, this ominous, the sun's gonna die in like a million years, in like a few billion years or something.
I think they said 4 billion was their estimate.
It's something like that, and I'm like, that's, I mean, they keep going back to like, that's why aliens might have come here, that's why these visitors might have come here, is their son could have died, or they came here, and it's like, I'm like sitting there and I'm like, this is going in a weird direction to begin with. I'm interested.
Yeah, it's definitely catchy.
So, I mean, I'm sure Ancient Aliens has covered that. But, no, it was really cool because they did the Nazca lines to begin with, which I kind of have this thing in the back of my mind now with those where I'm like, I don't know how I really feel about them, to be honest. I'm like, do I really think they were, like, something laid out for the gods? Like, quote, like real, quote-unquote, gods, something from the sky? Or do I think that they were just more something that, hey, we got nothing to do for a few weeks, let's go walk around in the desert and make giant pictographs that will be there for... I don't know. What are your guys' thoughts on the Nazca lines? Because, I mean, the information they showed here is not that much different from the information they'd show in, like, a thing today on the Nazca lines, in my opinion.
I share the same opinion, I'll be honest. I've never been impressed with... Well, I'm obviously impressed. I think it's an amazing feat of human ability to create these lines, but I don't think that they're speaking to UFOs or aliens or anything like that. And even in this documentary, there's a quote in there saying that there's no way a human could make these without some sort of assistance from the sky. Well, if you look at some of these quote-unquote drawings, if you want to call them that, or petroglyphs or whatever these things are actually called, they're crude. I mean, they're not, like, well done. It looks like refrigerator art. So, of course they can do this. I mean, I can go out in my driveway right now and make a 50-foot guy. He's not going to look great, but you'll be able to tell from the sky that that's a dude and not, you know, like a snake or something else.
Yeah.
So I just think that, you know, they took a lot of mescaline and tripping balls and decided, oh, let's go make some, like, scorpions in the desert. So a couple guys go out there and start making art, and it's still there because it's in a super arid region that gets no moisture and no wind and whatever else to take these lines away. That's my humble opinion on it, at least.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, the thing I had the biggest problem with is they kept saying, and they'll say this today too, they kept saying they drew these lines in the ground, but the only way to view them is from the sky. And I'm just like, they're in the middle of the mountains. Like, the things in England, you can see them from the next hillside. Like, what are you talking about?
By the way, it made my day because I'm like, I wonder if they're going to show that one where it's got the giant boat. Up there it is. Because I was sitting there and they kept showing different ones, and I'm like, isn't it the one that has the, oh, there it is.
Yeah.
Knew it was going to come up.
I'm with you, Derek. These guys are like, hey, let's do a bunch of mescaline and then go walk in a dong shape. You're telling me that that's less believable than ancient aliens? Come on.
And that's the other thing that gets me about, like, the oh, they put these perfect runways there. I'm like, I don't know about you guys. I mean, I've read a few UFO reports and stuff. Remember how when the UFOs come down to land, they need a runway to fly down and slowly stop?
Yeah, that's a ridiculous concept. That any interstellar what's the word there? Interstellar travel, is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
Vehicle that would travel that way would require some sort of runway is preposterous. That's just not how that travel would take place.
Just coming down to abduct somebody and they overshoot them. Aw, dang it, Clip-Clop. We got to fly back around.
Well, that's like there was a certain point where they were talking. I don't know anything about the Bible, but they were talking about, I think it was Ezekiel, the book of Ezekiel, maybe.
Yeah, Ezekiel's wheel.
This creature came, or this device or something came down, and Ezekiel thought it was a creature, but this NASA scientist thinks that it's some sort of craft with helicopter propellers on it. Like, aliens are going to build a craft with helicopter propellers to get all the way to Earth. Like, it just, the ideas they had were crazy.
And that is still something they bring up in Ancient Aliens, because it's, like, described as wheels within wheels and has many faces and stuff.
Yeah.
Like, definitely sounds like someone was, once again, maybe on mescaline.
Peyote, maybe.
All that stuff, I think, is in Chariots of the Gods, I think, which is, that's what the first special was based on. And that's something that I found particularly disturbing in this special, is that that guy who, I think, like you said, I think he was a NASA scientist, he was some kind of scientist, sitting there being like, and the best evidence for this that we have comes from the Bible. And I'm like, what?
And it says right there, NASA scientist saying this. I'm like, what's going on?
It's like, you're a scientist.
Joseph Bluebridge, I believe, is this guy's name.
And he actually wrote a book. He wrote a book in 1974, so around the time this came out, called The Spaceships of Ezekiel.
Ah, well, that's why they got him.
Yes.
Huh. That's funny.
Oh, actually, the cover of this book's actually really interesting. I'm going to read... This is the entire cover of the book, so apparently you just put huge word blobs on the front of it. Are the Eric Von Däniken theories really true? Was the Earth once visited from outer space? Did aliens walk on our planet? A major NASA engineer reveals some astonishing facts. Picture of a UFO-looking top with propellers everywhere. The spaceships of Ezekiel.
The hot air balloons of Ezekiel.
I actually have
dirigibles.
I have another note that says, it just says this. Something tells me 100% of the quote-unquote science shared in this movie is total bullshit.
NASA actually stands for not actual scientist anymore.
Oh, man. I mean, there's a lot for us to learn here. I mean, this is what people thought back in the 70s.
And it's
crazy to see how far we've come, how our opinions have changed, and how some of this stuff sounds ludicrous. And there's a few things in there we're thinking, well, that still checks out, which probably sounds crazy as well. So it's a slippery slope, man.
They cover so much stuff because they also then go into out-of-place artifacts, oop-arts.
Mm-hmm.
They go into, like, the Antikythera mechanism from Greece, which they actually tied that into a pretty interesting detail there. They have this thing called the Tower of the Wind, mm-hmm. I think.
Yeah, I've never heard of that before.
I hadn't either. That was interesting.
I hadn't either. And they're like, historians have debated and pulled their hair out trying to figure out what this was for. And I'm sitting there like, it's Tower of the Winds? Well, it's probably a public bathroom. But then they tie it into the Antikythera mechanism, saying that it was some kind of housing for a clock tower or something like that, which seems pretty cool.
And just a little background: what is that device? I know, but I don't know. Tell me.
Well, they
I know what it looks like.
They said
and that's
it was
about it.
It was supposed to be some kind of ancient computer, and not like, you know, MacBook.
Yeah, they said it was built in 80 BC, if that helps.
Yeah, no, it was something I think they have landed on it being sort of like an astrological calendar kind of thing that was supposed to compute when the, probably the lunar cycles, if I remember right, something like that.
And it was found at the bottom of the ocean by a sponge diver in, I want to say, the 30s or something, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Crazy.
Yeah, but it, and that thing's legit. Like, that's not an out-of-place artifact. That's an actual artifact, as far as we know. Like, that's one of the most legit things. But again, it doesn't necessarily change the paradigm to find this. It just means that, hey, these people were thinking about stuff a lot sooner than, you know, some other places. But maybe it was just one dude, because there's not a lot of these around. That's always been an interesting one for sure.
Yeah. There was another aspect that really caught my attention, and I didn't take good enough notes to tell you where this rock is, but they were talking about a boulder that's in the corner of one of these walls that was so magnetized that if you took a compass near it, the needle would spin. And apparently there's some sort of snake carved in it, but it looked like it was carved in there with some sort of crude laser or something. It was like melted in there, and it didn't really look like a snake. It was like a...
It was like a wiggly hole.
Yeah.
Like a long wiggly hole line or something, right?
Yeah. But, I mean, that's crazy, though. Like, how did they find this stone? How did they know it was magnetized if they didn't have metal? You know, the stuff like that, it really makes you wonder.
You're talking about the original people to find this, right? Not, like, the scientist or the geologist that
found it.
Well,
I'm talking about
recently.
The people that created this, this wall and discovered the actual boulder to put it into the wall. They said multiple times that the people that created all these structures didn't have access to metal tools. They didn't know metalworking, because this was in, I want to say Brazil or Argentina. It's down Southern America somewhere, South America somewhere. I'm so prepared for this, guys. You just have no idea. But it just blew my mind. I'm like, I don't understand how they know that. Obviously, they probably have some sort of metal that they've been working with, but maybe didn't shape it into tools, and that's how they discovered it. But it is still a fascinating element to me that this boulder was so magnetized and had this weird mark in it as well.
They did say that, but didn't the guy with the skulls come out there later and say, yeah, they shaved the head and drilled into this thing, and then he had like a metal tool that he
I saw the same thing, like, and I thought the same thing. I'm like, what's going on here?
It could have been two different civilizations, I guess.
Possibly. And that's the other thing, too. They kind of just glazed over where these places were. They're like, in the hills, blah, 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 and then that's it. Like, you have to remember where they said. But they went all over the place. They went to Petra. They went, like you said, Nazca. I think they were Machu Picchu at some point, or up in that area
like
anywhere.
Titicaca.
You just wanted to say Titicaca.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I actually, in my notes, I have haha Titicaca.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at kosai.org.
Well, that was another thing. They did the old you can only tell from the air, because they were like, Titicaca means jaguar stone or something like that, and then they're like, they showed an outline of the lake, and it kind of looks like a little cat strangling a rabbit or something, and they're like, how did they know that this was a jaguar-shaped Titicaca if they weren't able to see it from the air?
Well, the answer's right there in what you said. They called it jaguar stone, not jaguar shape or jaguar lake or anything. And this is an animal that lives there, so of course they're going to name stuff after it. I think it is really interesting that the lake is shaped like, and you can clearly see it in the video, that you see a rabbit and a jaguar, but I don't think anybody made it. I think that looks like a coincidence to me.
I think if you give me a yellow highlighter and some film, I can circle stuff and be like, look, there's a bunny. Look,
it's true.
There's a tiger. Look, there's a person's face.
So I think my favorite part of the whole thing, and it's not a single part, this happened like every 5 minutes, was Rod Serling would be describing, you know, one of these things. And he'd be like, the Atacama Plateau is high and dry above the plains, and that's why things can be drawn in the dirt there and survive. And these lines look like they point to something. Therefore, interdimensional alien travel.
I remember
and
that
I'm
line.
I'm like, wait a minute, what? I'm like, how did you, to that, what? And then he's like, a cataclysmic volcano, one the world has never seen before, exploded onto an island in the Atlantic Ocean. Therefore, ancient aliens built Atlantis, and they have a stargate to get to Beta Reticuli. And I'm like, whoa! Can we pump the brakes?
I will admit, in this show, they do, like, just leap from one topic to another. Like, they don't really answer anything. They just, let's ask these questions. Next topic. These questions. Next yeah. topic.
Just
aliens.
Like ancient
Next
aliens.
Topic.
The best part is that they go from A to B to C to Y. Like, they jump the alphabet to get to their conclusion.
At a certain point, they say that the Bermuda Triangle has the activity that it does because ancient aliens put a beacon there that messes with our navigational tools. Like, they just said it like that was a fact. Like, they got this thing in their basement or something.
And okay, so there was something really weird with that I've never heard. Because they talk about Flight 19. Mm-hmm. And then they talk about, like, one of the ships reporting that they look like they're from outer space or something. That they, mm-hmm. like, radioed that back. I'm like, I have never, ever heard that before.
I'd never heard that direct quote either. And no, they said
and
that was
like,
intercepted
what?
By an amateur ham radio operator. He intercepted that correspondence, I guess.
I've never heard that before, so that caught me off guard. I'm like, what? No, there's no way that can be part of that. Because I don't remember if it was they said it was the rescue ship or the rescue ship, a communication between a rescue ship and the captain of Flight 19. But at the same time, like, if it's something that's never been brought up since then, maybe it's because someone like was like, oh, man, I was just messing with you guys. Sorry. Thought it'd be real funny to get on TV, but they really didn't interview me, so I'm going to take that back now.
A plane was flying over the Atlantic Ocean. Suddenly, its instruments start going haywire. They radio for help, and they report seeing something off the starboard bow. Therefore, a teleportation device to Upsilon 6 in the Gamma Quadrant.
And the captain could be heard saying, there's something on the wing.
One on the wing. Something.
Oh, boy.
Literally, like, if you guys go and watch this, listen for Rod Serling to just make these gigantic leaps in what he says. And it's not like Rod Serling saying this. I'm sure somebody wrote it. But, like, the flight goes missing. Yeah, therefore, teleportation to another galaxy.
Well, back then, who's going to check this stuff, and where are you going to check it? You're going to have to read an entire book to find out if Rod Serling's lying to you, and who has time for that?
You're going to have to go to the library. You're going to have to make sure that the last time you checked out a ton of books to research and prove somebody wrong on, you know, the Kennedy assassination, that those are all paid up and everything. Now you got to go check out a ton more books to go read a ton of stuff, and this thing contradicts that thing. And, man, that guy's a blimp on the front of his book talking about Ezekiel's wheels and stuff. Stressful.
And therefore, the Earth was seeded with a comet's dust.
Oh, yeah, they do just randomly throw panspermia in there for like a split mm-hmm. second.
Well, they come back to it, yeah, two or three times. That's a hot topic for them.
Yeah.
Well, it's because I guess that was a new thing at the time, quote-unquote new thing at the time.
They kept coming back to your point about the sun exploding. They kept coming back to that one star system where the sun was starting to grow, and they're like, well, what do you do if you're a civilization living on a planet? You get out of there and you look for a habitable planet, and that's what they've done. So perhaps either they have germinated the human species here, or they have launched a probe and then came here.
Well,
those are the only two options.
Well, they make that point about the probe where, like, it's once again, it's not like a could a probe have come here. It was a probe came here and we intercepted a transmission from it. I'm like, who? No one is fact checking anything going on right now. Like it was just throw out something. No one's going to question it. Move on to the next thing.
I think that was when that guy you were talking about earlier with the hair was talking.
Comes back.
Yeah, he was another scientist, and he kind of looks like maybe a cross between Jack Black and the lead singer of Toto. So
I was going to go with Rasputin, maybe a little bit.
Sure.
I was going to go with Caveman that put on a lab coat.
A jacket with a tweed jacket with leather pads. They didn't do him any favors because two separate times in this special, they had Rod Serling doing a voiceover while this guy was talking but didn't have his audio playing. So it looked like this caveman with a tweed jacket on was Rod Serling talking. And it looked like a bad Bruce Lee movie.
I'm glad you recognize that, too, because I saw that and I was like, is the audio off on this? Because, I mean, okay, I'll admit it. You can find this on YouTube. And that's why I was watching it, and I'm like, is the audio off? Is there something going on? Also, I did watch this on my television, and I will say this right now. This apparently trying to be upconverted onto my TV was like, no, please stop. This looks terrible. There's so many pixels.
I had the same problem. It was really hard to see some of the scenes that I was looking at. It was like that on the computer, on the computer as well. I mean, it looked a little better, but it is YouTube and it is a almost 40-year-old movie. Almost 50-year-old movie. Jeez.
Yeah.
There was something that they brought up about this thing called Sidley, which is some sort of ancient power or transporter or teleporter, I guess you would say. Do you guys remember this discussion? This was some sort of ability that we had. I think they traced it back to India. You know, BC sometime.
Yeah.
And then it's disappeared. So every time there was some like a whisper of some sort of mythical power, they're like, is this that Sidley we've been talking about?
Nudge.
Sounds like another pandemic coming.
It does. They just keep sprinkling it out there.
Yeah, that was weird. What was that all about?
Yeah, I'd never heard of it or heard that word or anything. Maybe I should look it up, but whatever. I don't even know if Sidley is the right word. It sounds like what they were saying, but
I know exactly what you were talking about, but it's one of those things. I was watching the guy talk. I was paying attention, but no information was absorbing into my brain at that point.
Well, there really wasn't a whole lot of information delivered to absorb, so I can't really fault you there.
I think my brain went into, like, you need to shut off right now because what you're about to hear is pointless.
There was something that they talked about that's not paranormal, but I was fascinated by it. Apparently, there are these... I wrote down key pool, and I don't know, it's some sort of Southern American word. It's not key pool, but it sounds like key pool. About these ropes and knots, the system recording history. Apparently they can record numbers and stuff with just these strings of knots. And they lost the way to read these things thousands of years ago, apparently. But just the idea that anybody could have ever read them just blows my mind, because it's literally just string, like, randomly tied together. It was so insane.
Yeah, it is Kipus.
Kipus, okay, there you go.
It's spelled weird. It's Kipus. And it's basically, they were like, yeah, how did these people who had no knowledge of the wheel or writing or anything like that build these perfectly fused stone structures or whatever that you can't even slide a knife into? But, like, this Kipu system is really cool. Like, that was sort of a system of writing, at least some kind of communication that they would utilize. And that's very unique in history, I believe. Well, don't quote me on that. But it is known in the Peruvian Andes. They used it a lot in that system when they would run to different settlements along the mountains there, the Incan civilization. So this knot system, apparently there were ways to count on it, and I think there were ways to deliver messages with these. It is really cool.
They made a quote, something about they could ask one of these knowers, I think, or rememberers, I think is what they refer to them as.
Yeah.
If, you know, how, what the population of their village was on such and such a date, and they would actually be able to recall that using their ropes. And I just thought that was mind-boggling because, like I said, they're literally just string. They're different colors. They're different sizes. They're homemade rope made out of vines, or I don't know what they're made out of, but it just, the whole concept just, I was floored by that. That was probably the most amazing thing out of the entire documentary, and it wasn't even paranormal.
Yeah.
It was just something kind of weird they brought up. And yeah, I agree with you. It was really weird, and I'm like sitting there thinking, I'm like, that's very unique and something that's like very interesting that they brought up and pointed out. And then I don't think they linked that to aliens. I could be wrong.
No, I don't think they did either. I think that was mostly just to kind of illustrate the fact that they didn't think, since people didn't have actual writing, since they didn't have the wheel, apparently, how in the world could they build these structures that were so tightly fitted together and perfectly angled and cut from stone without metal tools and blah, 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 aliens. That's the summary of it.
There was a certain point where they talked about an Indian village that made these little vessels in the shape, in the size, color of the different races of the world. And this was made like 1,500 years ago or something. So they actually show these little pots, they're little tiny things, and they're just human faces, but they're vague. They're different colors. They're, you know, the red, black. I can't remember what other colors I saw, but I didn't see different races when I looked at those. Those were just different characters to me.
Oh, wait, are you talking about where they had the wall with the different faces that I know they brought up in other stuff?
It was the same segment, but they moved on to someplace in, I want to say India is where they claimed it was from, but these were just little pots, and they kind of just panned across like a shelf full of little pots with human faces, you know, carved into them or sculpted into them. And he said, you know, these were made to represent each of the races on Earth, but they were made 1,500 years ago before, you know, anybody was traveling to South America to see Indian people or native South Americans, whatever those people are actually called, or Europeans or whatever. You know, people weren't really traveling like that back then. So this was a big deal to them that all these different carvings looked like the different races. But like I said, to me, they all just looked like a red pot, a black pot, a yellow, they just different pots. I didn't really see the difference there.
Yeah.
I know that
if you're shopping while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast, then you know and love the thrill of a deal. But are you getting the deal and cash back? Rakuten shoppers do. They get the brands they love, savings, and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Target, Nike, and Instacart. Stack sales on top of cashback and feel what it's like to know you're maximizing the savings. It's easy to use, and you can get your cashback sent to you through PayPal or check. The idea is simple. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cashback. Download the free Rakuten app or go to Rakuten.com to start saving today. It's the most rewarding way to shop. That's Rakuten, Rakuten.com.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
They also brought up crystal skulls for like a split second.
Yeah.
Didn't they?
Yeah, they did.
They did.
I was like, wait, am I thinking something else?
Because they said, how did they go from like no art or like no finely detailed art to these like finely detailed crystal skulls? That was a point.
Well, also that they never worked in quartz. And they also said that they don't work in realism, and the skulls are, for the most part, you know, realistic looking. So those were two interesting points, but I think everybody pretty much knows that the crystal skulls are mostly hoaxes.
A terrible movie.
And a terrible movie. By the way, it's the 33, almost 34 minute mark, if you guys want to look at those little figurine things. It's right before they talk about that obelisk in India that's made out of a solid piece of iron. It's like 30 feet tall or something. that that could not have possibly been made by humans had to have been made by aliens, even though it looks like somebody hammered it with a hammer. But
they did, Justin, they did bring up that wall of faces at Tiwanaku, which they say the exact same thing. It's supposed to represent all the races of the galaxy and blah, blah, blah. Because there's one that looks like a gray.
No, because I know that's been a mainstay of Ancient Aliens, that they'll bring that up. I think they even sent Crazy Hair Dude there to look at it. It would be great if he looked at one. It was his face on it, hair and everything.
They did talk about the little airplane. I don't know what this thing's called. Like, it's not a jewel, but it's a little piece of gold that's shaped into like an airplane, but it's got like the Aztec stylization to it. If anybody watches Ancient Aliens, Giorgio Tsoukalos actually has one pinned to his lapel when he's on air. But yeah, they talk
they
about
built,
those
like,
as
a
well.
Model of it before I know that.
Yeah, they built a model and it actually flew, I believe. Don't quote me on that, but that's what I remember anyway.
They'd make it fly. I mean, for the sake of that scene, right? Right.
I mean, you throw something hard enough, anything can fly.
Basically,
old
like
sword
a,
through the sky, all right.
a fancy paper airplane. I mean, come on.
Essentially,
it was a lot of fun to watch, and like Ancient Aliens, which is pretty sensationalized. So was this, and I think I just have to wonder if they were doing this in the hopes that they would get a season out of it, or a series, I should say, or if they were, you know, literally just like, hey, that Eric Von Daniken's got some ideas. Let's see if we can put it on some film and go to all these crazy places and just film it. I don't know.
Well, that was something I was thinking about, is where were they looking to find a home for this? At 53 minutes or whatever the runtime is, almost 53 minutes, that's not an hour of television. So I don't know if it's
an hour and a half.
If it's an hour and a half special that they're going to air on CBS on a Saturday afternoon, or like where would they deliver this particular film if they weren't to get a series? I don't know how all that worked in the 70s.
Yeah.
And you guys probably don't either.
Good point.
Oh yeah, definitely. I actually did a huge research. No, of course I don't. So you said that the In Search of Ancient Astronauts focuses more heavily on the Eric Von Daniken stuff, right?
I think that's what I read.
Okay. Because I was waiting. I was sitting there patiently waiting to see a younger but somehow still looking as old as he currently is Von Daniken being interviewed for this.
I think Von Daniken was in prison during this time, actually.
Really?
Yeah, I think so.
I'm going to look that up now.
I know he did some time. I don't know why. I can't remember. I have these weird nuggets of knowledge in my head, but they're not enough to actually put anything together. Just like, oh, I know he spent time in jail in the 70s, and that's pretty much all I know about it.
Tell us more. I can't.
I wish I could.
I mean, we can talk about other stuff while I'm looking this up. I don't want the awkward pause, because I'm probably going to get sidetracked and not even finish looking
it up. I just thought we'd edit it out. Okay, I'll keep talking. let's see. They created life on this documentary. They were splashing water with amino acids in it on a hot rock and then watching it all accumulate, which I thought that was fascinating. I don't know a whole lot about this stuff. I'm not a smart man, so this all fascinated me.
I think they're probably counting on that for vast maturity. Like you said, people not being able to follow up on it and just being like, whoa, what? Really? Because that's basically what I think it accomplished.
Yeah, pretty much. I felt that way with basically anything they would tell me. It's like, oh, well, this is entertaining, but I don't trust a word you're saying to me.
Well, when they say stuff like, this probe was definitely launched here, They do say at the beginning of it, I think I remember them saying this is all speculation, but it's based on facts.
Yeah, they do say that. So they use the word facts, actually, in that disclaimer. This is our opinion, but it's based on facts, I think is what they say.
Yeah, these are our facts, but they're based on other facts.
There was one scene where they were talking about petroglyphs, and they were talking about the one in... is here in California. I think they said it was Indio County. And it shows a couple squiggly lines and two circles with, like, looks like eyelashes coming out of them. It really looks like eyes with eyelashes. And then there's people real small below those two figures. And they said, you know, how else, if aliens didn't land here, how else would these Native Americans carve out this obvious UFO landing? And I'm like,
obvious.
obvious. I don't know if I would use the word obvious or not. I could see what you're getting at. I can see why you would suggest that, but obvious. I don't know.
I did actually find the answer to the question we asked. On February of 1970, he was sentenced to 3.5 years of imprisonment and was fined 3,000 francs. He served 1 year of the sentence before being released.
What was the crime, does it say? Ripping the tags off of mattresses?
Falsifying hotel records, credit, referring to an order to take out loans for 130,000 over a period of 12 years. The money he used was
fraud.
For foreign research for his book. 2 years later, yeah, fraud. And living a quote-unquote playboy lifestyle. Once again, I only imagine him as his current age, but somehow younger. And playboy lifestyle with him, I'm just seeing him being like, oh, I'm not going to get the early bird special today at the,
Denny's.
Yeah.
Going to go for the moons over my hammy.
Moons over my aliens obviously landed on this planet.
Good one.
You know, if the joke doesn't work, you just keep shoving it in there until it's...
I didn't have anything, so that was my joke. I had nothing else to contribute.
You sniped nothing else to contribute, so just add to the terrible joke. No, I am shocked that he's not in this, but then again, I guess maybe he wasn't as interested to talk about his stuff at the time. I don't know.
Available. They certainly traveled for this, so.
Yes, everywhere. Yeah.
So it's got a lot of great shots of this stuff. Like we said, the music was great. It reminded me of the Twilight Zone music, the old Bernard Herrmann scores and stuff. And you got to wonder again, like, if this is probably CBS producing this, I guess I'm just guessing based on Twilight Zone and Rod Serling being involved and everything. So maybe they're using what they had. But Rod Serling does a great job as narrator. The writing is besides the huge, gigantic leaps in logic sometimes, you know, the logic, the writing was pretty good, and Serling's delivery makes it very poetic sounding. I found it very entertaining, and they covered such a wide breadth of stuff that even though some of the stuff was really out there, what they were saying, it was still presented pretty well and kept my interest and is always fun to hear about, you know?
Well, let me ask you guys, would you recommend somebody watch this film? And if the answer is yes, then what's your caveat? Because I'm sure you have one.
Don't turn it into a drinking game every time they jump in logic, because you will be in the hospital. I recommend this as sort of a thing, like if you are into the paranormal and stuff like that, just to see how long a lot of the logic has been around for. I mean, they do take leaps. There is some real big gaps and stuff, but there's some interesting stuff that are questions we're still asking 50 years later now. So it's kind of cool to see that, you know, stuff really, I mean, we've come so far, but there's still stuff we don't know about too.
David?
I agree completely. I think if you're into this stuff, if you're into our shows and all the things that we cover, this is going to be right up your alley and going to be entertaining if you take it with a grain of salt. Mm-hmm. So I think it's worth a watch if you're got nothing to do.
I really like the history aspect to it. Not necessarily the stuff they talk about, but the documentary itself is part of paranormal history.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's important to preserve and important for people that are interested in the subject to at least look at once. I don't think you should believe most of what you see or hear there, but you should at least watch it, see what other people's opinions were back in the day, what people thought was fact back in the day. And just kind of give yourself a little perspective on where we are now, like you guys said.
Well, another interesting thing is this is, I mean, they talk about the moon landing. They obviously have some, you know, stuff with, you know, us going to the moon and everything. And it kind of, the episode or the special ends with like a, you know, we'll be going, you know, to other planets and this and, the, you know, and then going to other stars and everything, you know, in the very near future. And I'm like, oh, we're still not there yet.
It's like when you watch an 80s movie about the 2020s and you have flying cars and stuff, and you're like, man,
we got
really
robbed.
Screwed up somewhere.
So something that's, and actually it's funny because I didn't even pick this. this documentary. I think it was David, you picked it?
Yeah, this was suggested to me by a listener, which thank you for that.
Yeah, thanks a lot, listener.
I you know what? I'm going to be doing some cooking in a little bit. Can I get some of that salt you just had there?
A little pinch?
I just found this interesting going, you know, with the way they went about, you know, saying some of the stuff that obviously aliens did all this. I recently just got done with Fingerprints of the Gods by Graham Hancock, and I'm not trying to do some push for his book or anything like that. I just recently got done with it, and I thought this was going to be another Eric Von Daniken level thing, and it's kind of not. And it kind of brings up the point of, he brings up the point in the book more of, he feels there's evidence for a previous civilization that we aren't aware of. Not something with flying saucers and everything like that, just a culture that existed prior to the ones we are aware of. And I know that with, you know, this documentary that we watched with Ancient Aliens, they always jump to aliens, but I was wondering, what's your guys' opinion on, do you think it's more aliens, or do you think there's some missing part of history that we just aren't aware of yet? Or am I just talking out my ass?
That's a big question.
We're both chomping at the bit to tackle this one.
Asking the big questions, getting the short answers.
Maybe. I suppose it's possible that there was some civilization before us that was highly advanced and they somehow got wiped out and we never saw. Maybe their island sunk to the bottom of the sea, or it was another Pompeii or something along those lines, and we just haven't seen any of this technology. But I haven't seen enough evidence to make me think that this is a real possibility. It's just more of a fun theory for me, if anything.
Yeah.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at kosai.org.
There's surely holes in the historical record, and even, you know, predating the historical record, obviously there's some big gaps in there that we're not exactly sure of, but I don't know if there's any kind of big civilization, let's just say like Babylon-type civilization before Babylon, before that kind of stuff started springing up. Now, is it possible that we have one of those, like, if you think of the, I don't know if you guys ever saw the H.G. Wells Time Machine movie with Guy Pearce and Jeremy Irons. Did you guys remember that?
No.
Covering it next week on Knights at the Round Table. Was that what we came to the conclusion
Knights
of?
Yeah, Knights at the Round Table.
Yeah.
Well, anyways, they do this whole thing where he goes forward so far in time that humanity has kind of evolved into two different species. Civilization has, it's so far in the future that all of our cities and stuff are basically either underwater or they're ground to dust, or, you know, it's like there's no traces hardly at all of the past, except for like a few things here and there, and one very robust computer of Orlando Jones, whose battery still works. So kudos to them for making that. But that's the idea, you know, of the Earth changing over so much time. If there was a civilization, then it's been buried and gone somehow with the changing of the landscape. So, like, maybe something like that could have happened way back in the past. You know, we're talking millions of years or more. I guess. I don't know. But it's hard to wrap your head around.
When you say it out loud, it's even harder, isn't it?
Yeah.
Really, it really is. Yeah, like, that's why I try to give the visual of the time machine thing, because they did such a good job of showing how the landscape changed and why, you know, New York, I think it was at the time, looked completely like a jungle almost, that he woke up and stopped the time machine.
I feel like I'm stealing a joke from Blurry Photos, but a future so distant, it might as well be Earth's past.
Yeah,
I swear I've heard that, and I'm getting you or the other one's voice in my head saying it in some.
And that's exactly it. Yeah. You're right. That's...
A future so distant, it might as well be our past.
Yeah.
Aliens.
Aliens. No, I mean, like I said, it's just, I know that a lot of people are very against, like, the whole, like, oh, you know, ancient people couldn't have built this stuff. They had to, it's, I know that the tables have kind of turned on that to where it's like, well, we're just being, you know,
dumb
towards, you know, I mean, because the human brain's been evolved for a long time, so saying that, oh, these people couldn't have figured it out, it's like, they probably could have, like, who's to say how smart they were, or what they could have done. So that's why I'm like, I love, you know, the UFOs, I love stuff like that, but always chalking anything you can't explain up to that immediately is just, I'm like, it's just lazy. In my opinion, it's lazy, archaeology, and it's lazy research on the whoever's,
but cutting edge
part.
But it was cutting edge in this particular documentary,
yeah,
because
yeah,
no one else had done it yet.
Because it was the new thing, but now stuff's kind of turned around again. So who knows, in 5 more years we could be sitting here listening to this episode and being like, oh, those crazy people with their ideas back then. We all know it was, of course, mongooses that took over the world and ruled it for thousands of years, and we built, you know, all these things for them.
You've heard that theory as well, huh?
Yes, I have. The theory that I just came up with. It started here.
There was a stone built into the side of this structure that was so magnetic, magnets spun. And then the mongooses took over.
They carved a crude mongoose into the side of the rock to indicate...
It was a snake. Their deadly and mortal enemy.
Oh my gosh, it's all making sense
now. It's full circle.
We've cracked it. We blew the lid off of it.
The synchronicity.
Oh man, no.
On that note, thank you for joining us on tonight's.
That's right. Yeah, well, this was a fun one. Justin, what have you been up to lately, and how can people find you?
You can, of course, find Zingness on any podcasting platform for the most part. You can also find Zingness on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, covering nerdy topics, fun stuff. Dipping toe into the paranormal, because I always say that, you know, paranormal, pop culture, they go hand in hand sometimes. And, of course, doing these fun roundtables with you guys. And I think you guys have an announcement, and I would love to, you know, maybe get my hands on that one to do a roundtable on. Hint, hint, nudge, nudge.
Where we just make fun of ourselves for 2 hours.
You are okay.
I would do it.
I could absolutely do that.
I am going to say
have
this
a few
now.
Drinks, but...
I am going to say this now. The image you guys released, I am not the only one to think this. Derek, are you? I know you're not wearing a cape, but it looks like you're wearing a cape in that picture.
How do you know I'm not wearing a cape?
Because I can see the tag for the shirt, but still.
You don't think capes have tags?
No,
somebody
has to know how to wash them.
Yes.
I just imagine, like, the shoot for that. You're like, David's sitting there. He's like, Derek, come on. You got to wear something that's more of the, you know, along the lines of the average person. Derek goes, don't worry, fam. I got you. Whips on his cape.
That's why Derek kept saying, I'm a super sleuth.
You said,
like,
you wouldn't
tell
anybody
about that.
I don't
know what
that
means, but now it makes sense.
What Justin's talking about is David and I are actually, we're putting together a documentary on a strange window area in Southern California called Anza Borrego State Park. And we're going to Kickstarter this thing, and it actually launches on March 10th. David, take it over.
That's probably a couple days ago, hopefully, if this all goes to plan. Yeah, it is an investigation into all this mysterious phenomena that's happening in Southern California, just east of San Diego. Guys, I don't know why I've turned into Jeff Goldblum all of a sudden, but here we are.
Life finds a way.
Finds a way in the desert. It's very hot, right? Oh. And so there's cryptids, there are UFO sightings, there are paranormal stories, ghost stories from the Old West. There's ancient rock art that's there. It's
Sandman.
Got so much cool stuff. Yeah, the Borrego Sandman, which you guys, if you have listened to my 2019 Miss Cryptid contest, he was a contestant on there. So that kind of led us to do this documentary. And right now, as this comes out, we are in the midst of a Kickstarter for it. So follow the links on our social media to find out how you can contribute to this project and get us funded, because if we don't get funded, we're not going to make the thing. But if you don't have social media, you just go to Kickstarter and search for Shadows in the Desert. That should be all you need to do. But the subtitle is High Strangeness in the Borrego Triangle.
And we should probably add that this is a region that nobody's talked about before. There are no documentaries, there are no TV specials, there are no books even on this subject. So we're basically finding something that hasn't existed, or hasn't existed in media at least, and we're giving you guys something fresh and new for once.
Yes, yeah. Everyone, do not fear. Cape Man and Jeff Goldblum impersonator are on the case.
What is, no, what no, is this? This is a tumbleweed. We've got tumbleweeds over here, yes.
In all seriousness, I am very excited for this, and I'm glad I'm able to be vaguely a part of it in the sense of mocking you guys beforehand.
Well, we were going to put Justin in it, but then he started mocking us, so now we pretty much have to leave him out.
You needed your cape budget. I understand. You had to make cuts somewhere.
On that note.
But, yeah, so... go check out it. We got a trailer for it on the Kickstarter, and we would very much appreciate it if you could help us make this project come true. And basically, it is, like Derek said, very unique. It's very fresh and very cool. And there's a lot of stuff to talk about and a lot of stuff to get to. So all the help you can give would be very much appreciated.
Yeah.
And you can find Blurry Photos, blurryphotos.org. You can check out Twitter, blurry_photos, Blurry Photos Podcast on Facebook and all that good stuff. Instagram as well, I'm on there. Getting some deep dives into things lately. Mm-hmm. Last episode was the old Falcon Lake incident up in Canada. So we're getting real weird over here and about to start season 9 of the show with my annual drinking episode, my annual Irish-themed episode. So lots of fun stuff going on, but a lot of concentrating on this documentary right now. So hence more round tables probably coming up.
I should probably say I can be found anywhere you can find podcasts. Just search for Monsters Among Us Podcast. It's out there. You'll find it. Also,
or it will find you.
Or you'll find me. Also, you can check me out on Paranormal Caught on Camera every Wednesday night at 9 p.m. on Travel Channel.
Are they letting you wear the hat finally?
They let me wear a hat finally.
Yay.
Not allowed to have anything on it, but I can at least wear a hat.
Well, there you go. We'll call it a night, which is now going to be the new thing that we say at the end of the show.
Sure.
I've been David.
I've been Derek.
And I'm Zinger.
Thanks for listening.
Have a good night.
Bye.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand-new luxury apartments. River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at kosai.org.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.